arguing a renewed motion for continuance or for delay, and in the alternative, if we don't get the delay that's necessary, we're going to be arguing a motion that our attorney, Buck Davis, withdraw from the case. He feels, and we feel, that because of legal and ethical, as well as moral grounds, that we don't have time with the present trial date to go to trial with an adequate defense or an adequately prepared defense. And to try to go to trial within that time and not to try to go to trial unprepared in the time that's already been set would be to quietly board the railroad and just be railroaded through and into the penitentiary, which they want to do, which they've been wanting to do for a number of years. We plan on mounting a major defense that calls for a major amount of legal research and calling for a major amount of investigation of the case. And to try to do anything short of that is just out of the question. For 2 months, we were held in the county jail under $10,000 bond, and the amount of time and energy and money it took just to get us out of jail could have very well been spent in preparing this case. They kept us in jail. They kept us from preparing the case, and now they want to stop us from preparing it. We filed a motion for a temporary delay in the trial, and if they don't grant the delay, if the judge denies the motion, we're going to be forced to, our attorney is going to be forced to withdraw. It's his feeling and it's our feeling that they're trying to put us in a penitentiary on a malicious prosecution, and we don't want to go. So we're going to have to mount an adequate defense, and that calls for major legal work, investigation, research, and it calls for a lot more time than the June 11th date that the judge has already set. So our attorney feels, and we feel, that because of legal, ethical grounds and moral grounds, that he would have to withdraw from the case rather than try to defend us with an inadequately prepared defense. The state kept us in jail under $100,000 bond for myself almost for 2 months and Craig for a month. And the time and energy it took to just to get us out of jail was enough to exhaust the resources of any individual and a lot of organizations. So they know what they're doing. They want to set this thing up and railroad it through without us being able to defend ourselves or prepare a defense. And we just can't go for it because it's a railroad operation and it's too cold.
On May 25th, the defense in the case of the People versus Craig Blazier and Pun Pomundan will move that the trial date be continued beyond the presently set June 11th, 1973 date. And if that continuance is not granted for a period of at least 60 days, the defendants will take the position that I, their attorney, should withdraw from the case and not attempt to...
1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
I'm fundamentally unfair because of the failure of the court to provide sufficient time for them to prepare.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Because of the nature of the case, i.e., that it is a political prosecution. What is alleged here is that the Rainbow People's Party has been involved in systematic large-scale traffic of marijuana, and further than that, has used methods of personal violence in order to carry out that traffic. Both of those contentions are untrue, but it's clear that the case will ultimately come down to whether or not the people of Northwest Michigan, who are not particularly familiar with the culture, lifestyle, and politics of the people of the Rainbow People's Party, and are generally alienated to some extent from all of youth culture anyway, who they will believe. The complainant, Uwe Wagner, who is an admitted hard dope dealer, among other things, or Pun and Craig. Under those kind of circumstances, it's not enough simply to go to the court on the day of trial and put in a factual defense. It's necessary that the lawyers, the defense team, the people from the party, the defendants, the spectators, all those in the community interested in the case.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7.
Because only by putting forward the reality of the work of the Rainbow People's Party will.
I don't want it.
Talk about next, you know what your hair is done in, so it gets
right.
You're ready anytime. You're good.
Yeah.
Are you ready, Lance?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay. Anytime. All right, gentlemen. We called the conference this morning on Memorial Day to announce a civil suit that our attorneys have filed in our behalf in Washington, D.C. in April. Myself, John Sinclair, Pam Pamanen, and Jack Forrest, who people here may remember as defendants in a conspiracy case brought by the Justice Department under John Mitchell and Richard Kleindienst, Robert Mardian, and other criminal figures of the day. The three of us have brought suit against Richard Kleindienst, L. Patrick Gray III, John N. Mitchell, Clyde Tolson as the executor of the state of J. Edgar Hoover, and the United States of America. Richard M. Nixon himself was included in then rejected as a defendant by the judge in Washington who heard the case. We brought this suit. Charges that the Justice Department, these individuals and certain other John Does and Richard Rose, Jane Does, etc., conducted illegal wiretapping against us in violation of our constitutional rights, that they used this illegal wiretapping, which they knew to be illegal all along, as a means of bringing action against us because of the political activities in which we were involved. And first, the illegal, what they call national security electronic surveillance, violated our Fourth Amendment rights. They violated the First Amendment rights to freedom of speech, assembly, and press as a political strategy. They initiated a bad faith prosecution in this case, which we feel was done in our case in order to justify the Nixon doctrine of illegal wiretaps in national security cases, and also violated their Ninth Amendment rights to privacy. And in each case, we're asking for damages of, there's four causes of action, and on each cause, we're asking for damages of $100,000 per defendant. So the total dollar figure involved is $1,200,000. And we wanted to take this opportunity just to draw some instructive lessons, I think, from this whole CIA case that was brought against us in 1969, in which we were charged with being conspirators, people engaged in what they call in the newspapers dirty tricks against the government rather than in its behalf. At that time, when these charges were brought, we said that we contended that it was a fabrication of the government in collaboration with a person, an individual named David Valor, and that this was fabricated, much as our suit says, in order to suppress our political beliefs and activities. And also, as we said at the time, as a smear campaign in order to get people to think of us as bombers and crazy anarchists and people who were totally irresponsible and went around blowing stuff up. And we said at the time that this prosecution started, that we would be vindicated. Unfortunately, we weren't able to vindicate ourselves in court because when we discovered the wiretapping and brought action against them, as you remember, in the case of the United States versus United States District Court, decided in June of last year, the United States Supreme Court ruled that there was no right for the Nixon administration to, or any other administration, to tap people's phones without a judicial warrant, and that the national security excuse that they were using was a phony excuse. Now, we're sitting here today in the middle of all of the revelations that have taken place about the government's activities. If you remember, we characterized the case not as a conspiracy by ourselves, but as a CIA conspiracy against us and against us, not as outstanding individuals, but as part of a nationwide, international political movement designed to put people like Richard Nixon and the whole gang of conspirators out of power. So now we wanted to announce this at this time on Memorial Day to remind people of what we said. That was 4 years ago in 1969. At that time, again, we spoke of there being a conspiracy against us rather than us being part of a conspiracy against someone else, and that the means used to carry out this conspiracy were wiretapping, release of falsified information and slanders and outright lies to the press to make us look bad, such as was done to Democratic Party candidates in Florida last summer, that they used all the filthy tactics that they could use and covered it all up, as Nixon has been covering up his stuff now. As Bernard Barker said yesterday, they broke into the Democratic National Headquarters in the interests of national security. We said at that time that they would use this to paint anyone who opposed them in any way as subversive and as threats to national security. We see now they've painted the Democratic Party as such. And it's just very extremely interesting to us, all of these revelations that are coming about, because at the time that we made these allegations, we were supposed to be crazy. At the time that we talked like this, people said that it was totally out of the question that the government would do something like this. There must be a reason for them to bring charges. It couldn't just be a political persecution. And again, like I said, we wanted to vindicate ourselves in court. We weren't afforded the opportunity. When they lost the wiretap issue in the Supreme Court, the government took that opportunity, it then being 1972, with myself not in the penitentiary anymore, with Pun not in the penitentiary, with us in a position where we could actively expose them in the courts, led by Attorney Davis. And we were denied the opportunity to do so. They dismissed the case. The wiretap, it should be recalled, had nothing at all to do with our case. The wiretap, in fact, involved a tap on the phone of the Black Panther Party headquarters in Oakland, California. And it involved calls that Pun made as a person who was distributing 900 copies of the Black Panther newspaper per week. He would call in and make orders and things like that. And that was the conversations that were overheard to the best of our knowledge. So they had nothing to do with the case. The case rested solely upon the allegations and fabrications of David Valor. But they dismissed the case, and they made it appear, and newspaper accounts that have followed have made it appear, that they really had a case. But they had to drop it because of this wiretap issue, because they couldn't announce the wiretaps, because in the interest of national security, they could not allow it to be known that we ordered 900 copies of the Black Panther newspaper from week to week. You know what I mean? So they used that to drop the case. We are desirous, and have been desirous since it started, of clearing ourselves of this charge, and more than that, because we clear ourselves of lots of charges all the time. And we expect that, but more than that, to point out that the government engages in this kind of activity, and in order for us to press our case now, we've taken them to court, and we've brought this suit on them, and we intend, our attorneys who are working on the case, intend to engage in vast investigative operations under the cover of this case, or as not under the cover of it, but as part of the case, and to bring out such facts as are being brought out now against the government in the Watergate suit filed by the Democratic Party against the Committee to Re-elect the President, or the CREEP organization. So this is our day in court. This suit will represent, hopefully, our day in court. They may try to sidestep it or throw it out, but we brought it. This is our legal remedy in this case. This is the only opportunity we had to vindicate ourselves for 4 years of publicity garnered by the government that painted us as some kind of evil, reprehensible persons. And with the principals in this case, unfortunately, or fortunately, from our point of view, they are no longer in the positions of power that they had before. Klein Deans, Patrick Gray, John N. Mitchell. They've all been exposed to a certain extent or another. And we hope to be able, through this case, to bring forth more information to expose even further the activities of the government as directed against people who are engaged in political activity or even have political ideas that are opposed to those of the Republican Party and the hierarchy that runs it. And we wanted also to draw the parallel at this time between this case and the case of Pumphlemannen and Craig Blazier that you may be familiar with, that the State Attorney General's office has brought in the last few months, and which we're engaged in defending Pun and Craig against now. And we just wanted to draw the parallel because the CIA case now, after 4 years, becomes clear what the deal was. And it's been clear to us all along. We hope that you can draw from information that's coming out now the same conclusion that we were trying to draw some years ago, that it was a politically motivated persecution that took place in the context of a nationwide conspiracy on the part of Ehrlichman, Haldeman, Mitchell, Klein Deans, Nixon, and all of those people. To suppress political activity by people opposed to the government across the country. It involved raids on political party headquarters, murders, in this case of Fred Hampton and Mark Clark and other people. It involved breaking in, as we read in the paper yesterday, to the offices of the conspiracy, Chicago conspiracy defendants, the Black Panther Party, other organizations. When they were in the middle of trials, they broke in trying to get evidence that they could use in court through the prosecutor. All of these kind of tactics were things that have been developed by the federal government, and we see now that the state attorney general's office has learned these tactics well from them and that they've adopted them in this case. That if you remember David Valor, and we were hoping that people would remember him much more vividly after we had an opportunity to expose him on the witness stand, which opportunity, unfortunately, we were not granted. In this case, of Pun's case, we have a witness who is even more insane, who is even more questionably motivated than David Valor was. We have a person whose testimony on the witness stand has already been contradicted by the state's main witness against him. We have a situation where ridiculous, incredibly trumped up and inflated charges were brought in a case where the prosecution of the principals itself is very questionable. We're looked at objectively. The state's witness is the person who should have been prosecuted, if anyone was in the case. And we see that the state police are acting in this case as the FBI acted before. We see that the Attorney General's office is acting in the same way that the federal Attorney General's office acted in the CIA conspiracy case. We see ourselves standing forth, making these allegations, bringing these charges, bringing forth the same defenses, trying to point out the same things. And we see, unless in some way we can continue to expose these people in Michigan, we see us going through the same kind of grief that we went through behind that other case, which in the end we came out not only with the charges dropped, but now in the position of prosecutors ourselves. We fully intend to bring the same kind of action against Frank Kelly at the appropriate time, after we either before or after the defense has been argued in court and the result has come out. And we just wanted to tip you off and ask you to regard, if you can, the case of Pun and Craig which we will be trying to bring to public attention more and more because there's a tremendous railroad going on, which I'll let them talk about. But we hope that you can regard that case in the light of this information about the CIA case, and many of you will remember us talking to you, unfortunately, from a jail cell or a holding cell or one of the places where they had us in that case, upon under $100,000 bond, just as they started out with in this case. And we just hope that you'll be able to look at that as you're interpreting the news and reporting the news in the light of this case and give some thought and perhaps even conduct some investigations into the conduct of the State Attorney General's office in this case and the state police and the kind of tactics that have been used in this particular case to take Conn and Craig off the street, as we were taken off before in this case. Yeah, that's all I really
know. On the $1.25 million suit against the federal government, what do you hope to prove by this? That the Nixon administration is corrupt and they can lie all along and hope to get the few bucks out of it at the end?
Yeah, we hope to further expose the government and add more information to this suit through the process of discovery and other legal processes. We hope to bring more information. We would like to see these people permanently crippled as persons who can operate publicly as members of government. We don't think, no, I think that it's begun a process of exposure. You know?
Johnson, you used the word vindicate over and over this morning. It seems extremely important to you now. You're out of jail. You managed to have the government's case thrown out and so forth. Why is it so important to you to be vindicated?
Well, we're persons who are not simply individuals, but members of a political organization that has carried on in various forms over the past 8 or 9 years activities involving people in this state and in this country. And part of the reason, the main reason in this case, and in my marijuana case and other cases like that, that we've contended all along, the reason they bring these cases, not only to get us off the street and to cripple our political organizing, but also to smear us in the eyes of the public. You see what I mean? And make us appear to be people who are totally implausible, people who are totally unreasonable, people who are just running their mouths and ranting and raving. Pictures of Pun dancing have been printed as pictures of him giving a speech haranguing people to violence. You know, I mean, all kinds of things like that have happened. And the smear attempt for a period of time, where I was unable to get a appeal bond on a question of possession of 2 joints of marijuana for 2.5 years because I was characterized by the government in this case as a bomber and a conspirator to bomb. You see, those are important things. We carry on our activity day to day. You hear about us when we get arrested or go into penitentiary. The rest of the time we're doing stuff that isn't so sensational. We do organizing work on a daily basis in the community where we live. And we work in many different ways and we come into contact with many different people. And all these people have foremost on their minds the fact that we have been charged with crimes, that we have done times in the penitentiary, that we have been labeled, you know, as dangerous persons. It's not rhetoric. I served 2.5 years every day in the penitentiary for 2 joints of weed and was not allowed appeal bond because of this case. You see, and that's serious stuff. You know, that goes on every day and that sticks in people's minds. And when I say vindicate, what we really mean is to clear the record and to turn it around and to say, it's important to us to stand up publicly and to make the kind of accusations that we make. They're serious. It isn't a flight of fancy. We believe these people and have said for years that these people are criminals who would stop at nothing to carry out their plan of domination of people in this country. It's beginning to be clear that they're like that, you see?
Is that what's beginning to prove it as far as you're concerned?
Oh, absolutely. And as far as people on the street are concerned.
You relate your own case to the kind of things that happened at Daniel Ellsberg?
Absolutely. Sure. This case is inextricably linked with that case. And in fact, when you've seen probably little references to United States versus United States District Court in the Ellsberg case, those references were to our wiretap decision in the Supreme Court, which stopped them from using that kind of information in what are the cases, Buck? In the Berrigan case, in the Ellsberg case, I think in Angela Davis's trial, and Bobby Seale's appeal in the Chicago 7. I mean, this was a central, you know, decision that the president and the attorney general could not just say that somebody was subversive, and we can't trust a judge even to know that we want to tap these people's phones. We'll tap anybody's phone we want, including Defense Department officials, New York Times reporters, anybody they want to, and say it's national security. Well, we put this block in, and they can't do that now. And that's part of the reason why some of this stuff is coming to light.
Well, there must be people like you all across the country.
Absolutely.
You expect them to see more and more and more cases like yours coming to light?
Hopefully. Hopefully. We hope it all comes to light. This stuff has been going on for a long time.
Mm-hmm. Do you think you've got any chance of winning this?
I don't know that part of it. The money is secondary to me. We deserve every bit of it. I feel I personally deserve much more than that for the stuff that I went through at the hands of these people. You can't compensate for taking people's lives and putting them in cells and treating them like animals and running them around at gunpoint day after day for 2.5 years. You can't compensate for that in money, you know. But compensation for me, the exposures that are taking place now begin to compensate. And the more that they will take place, the better I will feel.
As a result of this, do you have any more faith in the American system?
Absolutely none. No.
What could you do that the grand jury and these hearings couldn't do to expose President?
Well, the best we can do is supplement the great work that they're doing already. The best we can do is supplement it. We have a direct interest in this, and again, it relates to us as political beings in this community in this state of Michigan. We aren't really interested in the national aspect of it. We'll let Ellsberg and all those other people take all that because they have more time, evidently, to handle that kind of stuff than we do. But in the state of Michigan, where we live, where we'll continue to live until they run us out, we want these kind of things. The fact that we are not what they said we were, that we are different type of person than they characterize us. These are important things because they affect our day-to-day life, trying to organize people.
John, do you think the order to wiretap his phone came from the president's office and the attorney general's office?
Well, they submitted an affidavit. John N. Mitchell himself submitted an affidavit that he had authorized it personally under order from the president. Isn't that right, Buck?
The affidavit in the CIA case was that it was justifiable because it was done at the direction of the personal direction of the Attorney General, at the behest of the President in the interest of national security.
We see that we were the victims of a CIA conspiracy in 1969 when these first charges were brought. And even to this day, as John was talking about, we're still the victims of a state conspiracy, a state-directed conspiracy, where Craig and myself are charged by the Attorney General of the state of Michigan and the Michigan State Police with conspiracy, extortion, armed robbery, and usury, solely on the testimony of an admitted junkie, an admitted hard drugs dealer, an alien who hasn't registered as an alien, who is facing deportation, who is on probation from another drug sales charge. This person has formed an alliance with the Attorney General and the state police, and they are manipulating him and playing on his weak points, and he's actually a victim too of the society, and they are manipulating him and using him to frame Craig and myself and to further try to silence, further try to disrupt our organization. So most everything that John said, I could only underline or go over again. I think that we followed it pretty thoroughly. There's probably hopefully some questions.
When was the suit filed?
April 2nd.
April 2nd.
There was an attempt in connection with the suit. One of the defendants is Clyde Tolson. We attempted to attach the estate of J. Edgar Hoover so that Clyde Tolson wouldn't be able to spend all his money at the racetrack before we could get our $1.4 million out of it. However, the judge in D.C.
didn't feel that it was necessary to tie up J. Edgar to Hoover's estate until this suit was over with. And they apparently thought that 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue was not logically related to this suit. Those decisions were made by the judge before some of the more spectacular revelations thus far in the entire Watergate affair. I don't know if we've brought a re-motion, whether or not we might be able to win that now.
Where's your judge that you're dealing with?
We don't have in the D.C. circuit yet a permanent trial docket and whatever. We're still in the random selection part.